Welcome back to Rearview Terror, the story of five traveling monster hunters told through the role-playing game Monster of the Week. I'm Bobby, and I'll be your keeper. Now let's meet our team, who's never afraid to light a few fires.
I'm Ian, and I'll be playing Leon Doc Murdoch.
I'm Carl, and I'll be playing Gregory Gutta.
I'm Kevin, and I'll be playing Luca Bellevue.
I'm Casey, and I play Tiger.
I'm Dan, and I play Toby Miller.
So after seeking some medical care, Ray asked if he could bum a ride as far as Topeka to meet a friend of his. And it's on the way to getting paid for you guys anyways, so you decided to help the webmaster out. And as you drive westward, he's been asking a lot of questions, just basically nonstop. Actually, before we go into this, we haven't talked much about the bus or the setup at all. I'm assuming each of you kind of has a station set up on the bus, since we had established there are, like, sleeping quarters here. Like, Ian, what do you envision Doc's station looking like?
I would say it's pretty messy and minimalist. I don't have a lot of things, and what I do have is usually on my person. Maybe, like, a few rumpled blankets and, like, my backpack. And, you know, mechanical advantage.
Of course. Old trusty.
Old rusty.
And how about Gregory? I know that Gregory is very often the driver, but I assume he has a sleeping space as well.
He's got his big hiking backpack. A lot of his things were left behind at the camp. So what he had on him was his backpack with a few maps of the camp and the essentials, you know, essential oils, tea, candles, crystals. Got all that stuff in the backpack and a trusty multi-tool as well that he would always take while backpacking.
What is Luca carrying around on the bus?
To be honest, a lot of it's kind of similar to what Doc would probably have. But I think one of the things that kind of would probably separate is he has books, just novels.
Is he carrying his guitar with him?
Yeah, I'll say he'll have a bass.
Tiger. Now, I think that we had talked a little bit about him having sort of like a radio setup. Is that true? Is that accurate?
Yeah, he definitely has a radio set up and is constantly fiddling with it. Tiger loves his privacy, so I'm also thinking that he definitely has some sort of like blanket fort set up where it's hard to see over. And I'm thinking maybe some sort of like little janky laser pointer attached to some tiny computer that lets him know when people are approaching him, you know, like a tripwire, but it doesn't do anything except like light a light. So he can like look up and be like, what do you want? Without like looking up from his work.
I had kind of imagined like the back corner of the bus had like one of those almost like surgical curtains.
Yeah,
that goes
yeah.
on like the whole corner. Like you've got, I would assume like cameras and stuff too.
For sure. Some exposed wires that I've like crimped together myself.
Yeah, definitely.
Fire hazard.
So you have cameras. Do you have like a listening setup of some kind?
There's got to be some sort of like funky listening device with the like satellite cone type thing.
Yeah,
you point it at the source and it like magnifies the audio. But it's like you could buy it at like a Walmart for like $30, right?
One of those as seen on TV things.
I'm picturing like one of those spy tools that you could get like out of the like, you know, those like quarter vending machines at the grocery store, except he's like packed it full of like 500 volts and can hear things from 5 miles away.
Oh, yeah, he souped it up.
He souped it up.
Oh,
he
God.
He souped up the children's toy.
Nice.
I like it. And last but not least, how about Toby?
Yeah, not a ton. Pretty much just like a decent size kind of like day pack, like hiking bag kind of thing. Enough for, you know, like his laptop. He's got a camera, some binoculars. First aid, obviously. Yeah, he's got like just basic survival kind of things.
So as you guys are traveling westward from Kentucky towards Topeka, Ray has been just shadowing you guys. He's been making himself comfortable on the bus, taking whatever space he can get. And at one point he comes up to you, Doc, and he's just looking you up and down. And then he looks over at Greg, who's driving the bus at the time, and he just says, "So, is he your dad?"
No. Nope. It's a good one, though.
Some sort of relative, maybe. The reason I ask, he seems to always be keeping an eye on you. Very protective, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think that's just in his nature, I guess. But yeah, no relation.
Yeah, fair enough. So, what made you decide to be a paranormal investigator anyway?
Let's just say I've seen my fair share of weird shit, and I kind of wanted to get some answers as to where that stuff came from and why me.
Weird shit, huh? You've piqued my interest.
Listen, let's save it for the second interview, man.
All right, fair enough.
I'll give you a follow-up if you keep in touch.
Yeah, walks away and ends up taking a seat behind Gregory at this point. So I think I figured it out. I think I know who you are. The Gory Gutta?
Yeah, Gregory Gutta. That's right.
The bus, the name, it all makes sense now. You're the guy who left that campground with nobody else alive. Is that true, Gregory?
I think you're right. Nobody in that campsite, nobody who went there that night, made it out alive.
Except for you. That's very interesting, Gregory.
Well, not to say that I was someone that was going into the camp that night.
Of course not. Now, what made you decide to be a monster hunter anyway?
Oh, that's my nature.
Does seem to come very easily to you.
Well, so it does for those who walk the path of light.
Path of light, that's interesting. Can you expand on that?
Attempting to grasp the flow of the cosmos is as simplicity and silence. They destroy themselves upon their mention, upon their instantiation. So, unfortunately, all that I can tell you is that version of all evil is what I am.
Wow. That's cool. Well, you keep keeping the road, man. I'll catch you later.
Yeah, catch you later, webmaster.
And he goes to check on Luca at this point. Hey, do you play? And he is eyeing over at your bass guitar.
Yeah, little, yeah.
Man, we should start a band or something.
I doubt it, man. What do you play?
Oh, you know, little brass. I do some trombone.
Okay, yeah, I'm not a very like ska or jazz kind of player. It's more, you know, hard.
Oh, what's your cup of tea then?
You know, it kind of goes from Fugazi to Rancid to NoFX. Do you know any of this?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. And Luca does not look very interested.
Sorry, did I catch you at a bad time? Something on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just trying to take in everything that's been going on, you know? I have this coin, and I show him the one that I started with, the pewterish looking one, right? Like the worn. But I didn't know anything else existed. And here I am. Here's another one. But I don't know what it does. I don't know how to use it. All I know is it's powerful.
Yeah, I keep seeing you staring at these coins. What's the deal? Is it like a collection thing or?
No, to be honest, it's how this whole thing started for me. I am on this trip through a series of events, meeting Doc and finding this coin. So this coin is everything that exposed me to this being real. I didn't know magic monsters, this stuff was real. I mean, sure, you read about it as a kid and you have all these thoughts and play pretend, but I didn't know it was real, and I found this. And I show him again the coin in my hand, and I flipped it, and things changed, and everything changed from then, and I cannot stop trying to figure out everything that has to do with this.
That's it's pretty hardcore. I'm well versed in the world of the weird, but magic is still a little weird to me, so afraid I can't help you much there. Godspeed though, buddy.
Yeah. Thanks.
He wanders off again. This time he checks in with Toby. So I was checking on your post history, buddy, and noticed you got a Salt Lake City IP.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so let me guess. You're a Mormon.
How'd you know?
Just a lucky guess. So what's a pious young man like yourself doing hunting monsters with these ragtag group of hunters?
Well, I'm mostly just curious. Ever since this thing happened with my friend a few years ago, I've just been kind of obsessed with the paranormal and what might be out there, as you probably guessed from the forums.
Yeah, you talk about demons an awful lot. Something happened to your friend with demons?
Yeah, we're pretty sure he was possessed. You see, some of my friends brought a Ouija board to this jamboree that we were all at.
Oh yeah, never touched the stuff.
I didn't, but I showed up and they were using it, and one of our friends, Philip, he was possessed, I'm pretty sure, that night from a demon. So a bunch of us tried to, handle it ourselves. Most of the adults really wouldn't listen to us. In the end, we think we might have made it worse on accident, but then some people showed up and took him, and we haven't really seen him since.
Oh, shit.
So maybe in my journeys, I can try to find out what happened to him.
Jeez, I hope so. That's some heavy stuff. What kind of people took him away, do you know?
Well, I mean, I don't know. They were wearing these weird suits, but I just have this feeling that they might have actually been from the Church of Latter-day Saints.
The plot thickens. That's something to think about. I'll see if I can dig up any dirt on maybe organizations that may have been responsible. Could be someone who's masquerading as the LDS, even.
I hadn't even thought of that. Oh, man. You're going to be so helpful for us. I can't believe the webmaster's here.
Don't mention it, kid. If it gets the truth out there, then I am all for it. That's my code, after all. Gotta find the truth and expose it.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. That's what I'm all about, too.
Good to hear, man. I'll catch you later. And he walks a few paces and sets off an alarm for Tiger.
Tiger shoots up, ripping off his headphones, and then recognizes the intruder and says, "Webmaster, what can I do for you?"
Whoa. Sorry, man. I didn't mean to set anything off. I was just coming in to see how you were doing.
Oh, quite all right. And he'll kind of busy himself resetting the the tripwire.
So, Tiger, I've been meaning to ask you, buddy. Are you ex-military or something? You seem to know your way around a gun, and I don't know, just a hunch.
He looks to the left and the right and says, "Yeah. Yeah, I was overseas a couple times. But I'm only entrusting you with this information."
Sure. I'll keep it on the DL. Well, thank you for your service, Tiger. Anything you're willing to share about it?
He'll turn his head and take a long glance over at the driver of the bus, Greg, and say, "Not at the moment."
Yeah, no worries. Just a curiosity is all. So, what brings an ex-military guy like yourself into the monster hunting business?
I was told to be here, so now I'm here with these people. Never thought I would be, but here we are.
So this has to do with the signal,
That's correct. The Secret Masters told me to be here.
Right. The Secret Masters.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to ask about this. So these are people who talk to you over the radio?
And he kind of pauses for a second and says, they're the they're the secret masters. They are the ones who are the voice. They keep the silence at bay.
Okay. I see.
Sometimes they give me missions, so I carry them out.
Just for my own curiosity, you're sure these guys are on the right side, right?
Tiger stares at you, unblinking and with no expression on his face.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll leave you to it. Are you looking for something right now? Looking for messages from them? Or what's going on with the radios back here?
Always got to be listening. Always listening for the Secret Masters.
And at the moment, are you just kind of like checking out random frequencies, or are you tuning into something specific?
Yeah, it's a lot of very fine tuning with a very large and very precise tuning knob. And he does keep one ear off for most of the time, but when he gets close, he kind of puts both on and starts flipping switches and seeing if he gets close.
So as you're tuning back here, you hit something interesting. You hit what seems to be a number station, which I've run into a few times before, but they always kind of pique your interest. And you're listening to this strange voice just reciting like numbers and letters over and over again. And you hear this voice kind of awkwardly say, T, pound, T, one, G, three, R, five, M, one, and just keeps repeating that over and over again.
Oh, that's interesting. I will certainly make a note of that in the notebook that I keep by to scrawl whatever messages I get.
And as you're scribbling this down, you swear that you see something out of the corner of your eye as well.
I'll look over.
You turn around slightly and you see almost like an image on a blurry television station. There is this creature that has apparated behind you, and it kind of looks almost like a bat, but it's between 3 and 4 feet tall, and it has these short horns on its head and these beady black eyes, and it's just sort of flapping erratically, kind of like a moth near a light.
Whoa, wait, where is this? It's on a TV?
It looks almost like it's something on a blurry TV station, but it's hovering above all your equipment. Like, it's actually in the air around you.
Wow. All right, yeah. I will jump up and, yeah, try and grab it.
As you attempt to grab it, it almost feels like you have something, but then suddenly the image just disappears completely, and your hands go right through it.
Huh. I'll look down, staring at my hands, and look around to see if anyone else may have seen it.
Now, are you listening to your radio on headphones, or is this being broadcast across the bus?
Headphones, yeah.
So Ray looks at you kind of with a screwed up expression on his face, like, are you all right? Is there a fly or something?
Did you... Yeah, must have just been a fly, I'll say, confused and sitting back down.
Well, like I said, I'll leave you to it. I didn't want to be a bother, but if you need anything, you let me know, all right?
Same to you, Webmaster. Thank you.
Yeah, bows and exits your little tented off area. So it's getting a bit later on in the day. The sun is setting as you guys enter Topeka, Kansas. And Ray goes around and says, all right, I want to invite you guys all to get a drink with me. After all, I do owe you from saving my life back there at the Halverson house. What do you say?
Are they on you?
Oh, of course.
Then yeah, absolutely.
As long as they'll let me in.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm friends with one of the guys who works there. And he goes up to Gregory and says, all right, we're looking for a place called the Sweat Lounge. It's a little nightclub in the area. Can't miss it. Big neon lights. And eventually you come up to this place. Looks kind of run down in the main city center area. And sure enough, there is the Sweat Lounge.
Love it.
What's the sign look like? Is it just the name, or is it something else?
Yeah, it's the name, and there are like these little neon like droplets of water on either side of it.
I was really hoping you would say that. Okay, lovely.
As you guys are getting ready to disembark, Doc, you get this weird feeling that someone is watching you.
When I get off the bus, I'll definitely like scope out the surrounding area, see if I can figure out the source of that funny feeling.
And maybe it's just a coincidence, but
it's never just a coincidence, dude.
When you start scoping things out, you look across the street and there is this black van, has tinted windows, and just looks very off.
As Doc is inspecting the van, all of a sudden there's a hand on his shoulder, and Gregory says, be wary, Doc. We are pursued by the starving bull, crimson eyes.
I don't know what you're saying, but yeah, I've got the heebie-jeebies too. Yeah, that van looks awful suspicious, don't you think?
Well, glory be to our bull destinations, he says, gesturing to the bright neon sweat lodge sign.
Yeah, you're right. I shouldn't dwell on it, and I'll definitely like take one last look at it before we go inside.
Oh, I should have mentioned, guys, you will be frisked, so be sure to leave all firearms in the vehicle.
What about knives? Are they cool with knives?
You can probably get away with knives.
All right, I'll put my pistol back in the bus.
Is everyone leaving their firearms inside?
Tiger's Second Amendment doesn't want to.
Eyes bugging, palms sweaty.
Well, Gregory was just going to say, if Tiger seems to be a little bit hesitant, Gregory will try to reassure him.
Well, the webmaster reassures us, Tiger. This place is safe enough.
That's true. So, yeah, he'll take Dr. Slumber and put it in a lockbox that's chained to one of the posts that the benches are in. When no one's looking, kisses the lockbox, and then he will exit.
Of course he does. So once you guys get past security, there's a decent line into this place, but you get through it pretty quickly and you're welcomed into the sweat lounge, which you can see is kind of a rundown nightclub. It is vaguely themed around like a sauna, and there is all this cheap wood paneling around the walls, and there is just this constant running smoke machine to give it the impression of like steam.
Sounds so horrible.
Who would want to hang out here?
And the lights are low, and so is the bass.
Did you say it was the evening, Bobby?
It is now nighttime.
Okay. Is there a bar?
Sure is, yep. See that there is a young woman working behind the counter. And Ray says, yeah, anything that you guys want. It's all on me. I'll put it on my tab. They know me here.
Man, you get the connections, dude.
Yeah, I know a few people.
Well, when in Rome, I'll go get it, go to the bar.
Yeah, Tiger will follow. After saying thank you about 15 times to Webmaster and making him uncomfortable.
Direct eye contact for every thank you.
No smile, no anything.
How busy is it in this?
It is pretty popular. Like, it's not wall to wall, shoulder to shoulder, but there are a fair few people in here. You would probably guess there's upwards of like 50 people in the building right now. So, Doc and Tiger, you guys are going up to the bar.
Yep.
Yeah, yep.
Let's do it.
The bartender greets you guys. What can I do for you?
I'll take a bourbon on the rocks.
Bud Light, please.
Don't look familiar. What brings you guys to Topeka?
Dude, wish I knew, honestly. But hoping to find out.
Fair enough. Always welcome a few strangers in the old sweat lounge.
Dare I ask how long you've worked here?
Oh, I bought the place around 5 years ago now. I actually went in it with the DJ here, Danny.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Nice.
And as she looks over at the DJ, you can see that Ray has actually gone right up to this guy and they're having a little chat over in the corner.
And sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Chelsea. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Well, no, if you need any more drinks, I'll keep them flowing.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. I'll sip my whiskey and sit in such a way that I can keep an eye on the door.
After a few moments, you notice that a woman in a black suit has entered the club as well. She's got sort of graying blonde hair, and she's wearing sunglasses, which makes her a little conspicuous. But she goes to one of the walls and just sort of leans against it with her arms crossed.
I'll tap Tiger on the shoulder and be like, "Hey, dude, what's up with her? She seem out of place to you?" I'll gesture over, hopefully inconspicuously.
With no thought to any sort of subtlety, Tiger's head will just immediately snap towards her and say, "Yes, very strange behavior."
Like sunglasses inside? Like
no one does that. And I will take a big gulp of my Bud Light. Do you think we should figure out what she's doing here?
Let's just wait and see for now. But yeah, keep an eye on her.
Keep it cool.
Luca, Gregory, and Toby, you guys doing anything as you enter the sweat lounge?
Luca's looking at the whole crowd because he's not usually a person to be in any sort of situation like this and extremely uncomfortable right now. So he's trying to kind of judge the people that are here. Like, what's the average person like here? Like, is this like a popular within 20 to 35 year olds?
Yeah, this is definitely a younger crowd. It looks like predominantly between like probably 20 to 40-ish. So there's a decent spread, but it is mostly on the younger side. And as you're surveying the crowd, something does seem strange to you. You notice that there is a young man with a mask on, and you can tell by looking everywhere else that it's not like this is that kind of club, you know? There's just some guy wearing a plastic tiger mask is what it looks like.
Yeah, so after seeing that, he's also going to look for exits as well. he's already uncomfortable. He's going to shift probably closer into Greg and Toby and maybe even reach out to Greg and at least like nod in that direction, kind of like not outright point, but steer the same visual line over towards the kid in the tiger mask.
Luca, there's not a tiger, but a bull we fear. And do remember that your wrath reduces enemies to ash. Just do be careful not to let your vengeance extend to those who are innocent as well.
Yeah, okay, but still weird, man. Cool, thanks. Good talk. I'm going to walk away from that situation and go to Doc, who I actually kind of know and relate to.
This place is giving you weird vibes, dude.
I hate this. I hate everything about this.
I mean, listen, I wasn't keen on, you know...
Attention, everybody!
The sweat lounge. Dude. Oh, jeez.
DJ Tanner is here with another hit for some VIPs in the house. This one goes out to Doc, Greg, Tiger, Toby, and Luca.
Fuck. Doc, look at the dance floor, man. There's a kid wearing a tiger mask. Can we get out of here?
Tiger mask.
Toby, who's been like staring at the ground this whole time, averting his eyes because he's wildly uncomfortable, finally looks up in shock toward the DJ booth.
So the DJ waves you over as he makes eye contact with you awkwardly.
Oh boy. yeah, Toby will kind of like look around like, me? Okay. And just slowly approach.
This is my nightmare.
Hey, nice to meet you. My name is DJ Tanner, and I am the DJ here in this club. What could I play for you, little man?
Do you have any Creed?
Are we talking Human Clay, my dude?
Yes.
Yeah. Rip it.
You got it.
And of course, Hire starts playing full blast.
If anyone looks over at Tiger, you'll notice his eyes start welling up with tears.
I'll look over at Tiger and Luca and be like, well, Anyone who didn't know we were here now knows we're here. And I'll glance over at the woman in sunglasses.
In the brief moments that you looked away from her, she seems to have disappeared. You don't see her anymore.
Ah, shit. Oh, man.
Oh, that sucks. Okay. I'll definitely point that out to Tiger.
Tiger will collect himself and be very sobered upon hearing this news.
And as you guys are enjoying the musical stylings of Creed, it starts to fizzle out over the speaker system, and it turns to static for a moment before transitioning to T, pound, T, one, G, three, and it goes into that same weird number station shit that Tiger heard earlier.
This is some weird Creed remix or something? What is this?
As you are listening to it for the first time, Toby, you notice that there is something weird going in the background of this track. Whereas there's that voice who's reciting the letters and the numbers, there's sort of this weird white noise in the background, and it's strangely familiar to you. It's sort of akin to like a popping record sound, and you swear you've heard this strange white noise before. It reminds you of something you heard in the background when your friend Philip was being possessed by a demon.
Well, that's not good.
Tiger will actually look around and say, "Doc, I heard this earlier in the on my radio. Keep an eye out for a bat-looking creature, about 3-4 feet tall, fluttering around."
Dude.
Just trust me. And he'll start like looking around and like fiddling and reaching for Dr. Slumber, and remember, it's back in the lockbox.
And as he says that, you sure enough start to see this weird little creature flapping around in the air around you. It looks a lot like a bat, but it has more monstrous features to it, like horns and these sharp little claws on its hands at the end of the wings. And this time, Tiger, instead of there just being one, you see probably a dozen of these flying around the club. And unlike last time, people notice. You start to hear screams across the room as people are swatting these away or running away from them.
Whoa, okay.
These, like, impish creatures.
Impish would be very accurate.
Luke is immediately looking for a place to leave because he's already been trying to find an exit since they've walked into this place.
Luca had scoped out the exits, and you see that there's one the way you came in, and then there's sort of a back exit on the other side of the club.
Can Luca read a bad situation here?
Sure, yeah, go for it.
That's 11. Oh, new dice, hot dice.
Hot dice?
So on a 10 plus, I hold 3. And so I've got, what's my best way in? What's my best way out? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? What's the biggest threat? What's most vulnerable to me? And what's the best way to protect the victims?
What are you thinking?
What's the best way out, for sure?
Okay, for best way out, I would say people are starting to pile up on the way you came in. Seems like that is the main exit as well. So it's getting pretty congested over there. But that back entrance looks pretty good. It's mostly clear at this point.
Are there any dangers that we haven't noticed?
As these strange impish creatures are appearing, you notice that man with the tiger mask. You lost sight of him for a moment, but he's reappeared from one of these interior rooms, and he is headed for that back exit as well. And it just seems odd to you that he would be in amidst the rooms of this building.
Yeah, which leads me to what's the biggest threat?
You notice that as he is exiting, he has a handful of wires and things that look kind of like audio equipment, vaguely.
Oh, this fucker.
Okay. That is immediately relayed to everybody.
I think this phenomenon might be sonic in nature.
Perhaps.
What the heck did you just do, DJ?
I swear that was not DJ Tanner. Someone is messing with my system, and I do not appreciate it.
I believe you, DJ Tanner.
I just want to get within shouting distance so I can yell at the DJ to turn the sound equipment off, speakers and whatnot.
He hears you and nods, and he's starting to flick things on his laptop, And for whatever reason, the sound is not shutting off. And he tells you as much. He shouts, so
it's not working, man. I don't know what happened. This isn't coming from my set list.
Yo, where are the breakers in this place?
And Chelsea shouts out over to you. They're in one of these side rooms. Here, let me show you.
Okay, and I'll hustle over there, taking care to avoid any of these bat creatures.
As you are making your way over, one of them dives at you, and with these pointy claws, they scrape against your back for 2 points of harm. And as you feel this, there's a weird coldness to the scratch as well. It doesn't feel like any living creature that you've ever encountered before. There's something completely lifeless about this touch.
Oh, okay. I'll shudder a bit and recoil and just try to make my way over to safety in that side room.
You guys make your way over to one of the back rooms here, and sure enough, there is a breaker on the wall, and she starts to press them back.
Yeah, just turn them all off.
And the rest of you in the main part of the club, you see all of the lights go out and all of the sound stops as well. And suddenly things get very quiet again. And there is just the panic coming from the crowd of guests who are still trying to escape the now dark room.
I guess that didn't add any order to the situation. I guess I'll look at Chelsea and be like, can you make sure everybody gets out of here safely through the front entrance, maybe?
Yeah. I'll get back to it. Make sure no one like messes with anything back here, all right?
Yeah, no, I'll make sure no one comes back here. Thanks again.
All right, what's everyone else doing amidst the panic?
I think for me, I was like looking around and trying to help out as I could and flailing at these imps. But since there's nothing I can see, maybe there's something that I can hear. I'm going to fumble around for my radio and try and call on the secret masters and get their wisdom. Because I don't know what the hell's going on. Oh, nice. All right, so 6 plus 3 is 9, then plus 3 weird is 12.
Awesome. So that's best possible success. What does that do for you?
They reveal a key fact, clue, or technique that will help you.
Same as last time, you hear this static and commotion of radio frequencies fade into silence. As everything becomes clearer, you hear in your mind, triangle, triangulate the source.
Let's see, how does one triangulate a source? Anyone got any ideas?
I mean, you've got that listening equipment.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's what I'll do. I'll try and get back to the bus and hop on my listening equipment to see what I can find there.
It does take you a little bit to get out because of the panic, but based on the lack of attacks that you experience, it seems like whatever those imps were, they've now disappeared.
Okay, so yeah, it seems like they're kind of when the sound is going and that weird guy is counting.
Yeah, Gregory is hanging back to make sure everyone that is panicking and leaving is getting out safely and that no one gets trampled or anything like that.
Oh man, you know what? I bet Toby, this cannon now, Toby has a whistle because that's a very good survival tool.
Ah.
And he's trying to quell the panic with loud noises. No, just to get everyone's attention and then try to bark out directions.
I will put my hands over my ears and walk up to Toby as he's blowing the whistle and be like, hey man, when you're done playing referee, do you think you could take a look at the scratches on my back?
Yeah.
They look pretty gnarly. There's like a slight blue puffiness around these three streaks across his back. And there's just blood coming out from them.
Oh, that doesn't look very good. I'll turn back. Is DJ Tanner still there?
Yeah, he's standing back with Ray still.
DJ Tanner, can you use your magnificent voice to just keep doing what I was doing? Just, you know, the same orders. Everyone will listen. It's fine.
You got it, Boy Scout. Attention, everybody.
And I'll try to patch up Doc's wounds in the meantime.
All right, you want to roll a medic for me?
I sure do. Gosh, darn it.
Oh.
Yeah, 5 total, so that's a
Did you make it worse?
Well, yeah. Listen, I'm still new. Oh, God. Still pretty young. Turns out my training wasn't, like, the best, you know? I wasn't equipped to deal with monster wounds.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, this has some elements of frostbite to it, which you probably don't have really enough equipment to really deal with.
Oh, so this works thematically? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well, why didn't you just say so?
And I mark experience?
You mark experience? Oh, and
let's go. Sorry, Doc.
Lucky Doc, I think, takes one harm.
Yeah, you take one additional harm.
Fuck, man. Ow. What are you doing back there?
You feel this sensation of coldness just chills through your body.
Jeez, guys, like, let's get out of here. I'll take care of you when we get out, Doc. Don't worry.
All right, I'll make for the door in an orderly fashion.
Is that everyone? Everyone join in Tiger in the bus?
Yeah.
Yes.
So Tiger was the first one out there. So I'll ask, what are you doing once you get back?
I'm going to hop into the bus, make sure that there's no one in there, get out Dr. Slumber, and then start fiddling with my radio to see if I can triangulate the signal.
So what I'll do, I'll have you roll an investigate a mystery.
Okay. So that's 5 plus 3 is 8 plus 2 is 10.
You get to hold two questions there.
Hot dice.
Hot dice.
Yup.
Let's do, what sort of creature is it and where did it go?
All right. So you're using your equipment to sort of triangulate where this signal is coming from. You hone into it with your dial again, and you use this directional sensor to figure out where it's coming from. And it seems to be coming from the east. So back where you guys came from. And you'll need to take a second measurement as you get closer to figure out where it is exactly, like distance-wise. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be somewhere in the east.
Okay.
Back towards the sweat lounge.
Back towards the Kentucky direction.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Your other question was, what kind of creature is it? You remember hearing some questionable stories about demonic incursions. And you've always kind of brushed them off, having never experienced them personally. But certain people in the circles that you communicate with have talked about what's called a breacher demon, which is a subcategory of demon that tries to wear down rifts between our reality and theirs. And the main way they do that is through sonic energy. Oftentimes they'll find a susceptible like radio frequency. Sometimes it's other communication channels like televisions, or in rare cases, sometimes it's things like a Ouija board.
Mm.
But their end goal is to create a hole in which other demons can get through, essentially.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I've watched Yu Yu Hakusho. I've seen this. Breacher demon. Interesting. And it's over to the east. Cool, yeah, I'll definitely fill people in if they start piling on the bus. At least I have some info for them.
Around the time you're piecing this together, the rest of the crew arrives back on the bus.
I'll sit down in my bunk and wait for Luca.
Yeah, my buddy's hurt, so I'm going to try and... Doc, turn around, man. Let me see that stuff.
Yeah, I'll lift up my shirt again.
I'm going to use... This might sting. Use magic to heal 3 harm, but the process is exceptionally painful. On 7 to 9, it also leaves an early scar. I don't know if it means it's painful for both of us, or just me, or just you, but yeah, this might sting a little bit. Uh-huh, 10 on the dice, 12 total.
Ooh. Yeah, baby.
These are the dice, man. These are the dice I'm using.
Hot dice.
Where were these last time?
I know. Yeah, so you get 3 harm healed.
So I take it. I feel relieved of this frostbite.
There's sort of a pinching sensation on either side of each of these claw marks, but eventually it fades into soothing relaxation and that pain is gone.
Oh, Luca, thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Can I peek out the window of the bus and see if that van is still there?
Yeah, as you peek out, the van is gone now.
Duh! Of course it is. So mysterious!
Did Tiger info dump his realization?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, about the direction and the type of creature. Dude, well, that's kind of ominous because it suggests that this is just the appetizer.
The good news is I've sort of dealt with this thing before. We didn't do the greatest job, though.
Hey, this is your chance for redemption. Does it look like most of the people got out of the lounge?
There's still a few filing out, but it looks like the fire department has been called and they're helping get the remaining people out.
Nice. Whew, crisis averted for now.
For now.
Postponed. Crisis postponed.
Which sometimes that's all you can do.
So obviously there seemed like there was some connection between the creatures and that person wearing the tiger mask, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, he was controlling the audio and the audio was doing the stuff to the creatures. I mean, we should just burn down the club, right? That's just our MO.
I mean, it worked last time.
If it works, it works, right?
So nobody followed him. He went out the back entrance.
Yeah, maybe we should try and figure out where he went.
Shouldn't we head toward where the signal's coming from?
What if we split the party?
So many loose threads.
No, I'm fine with doing everybody on one thing if we want to keep the gang together.
So everyone's sticking with Tiger's plan of going eastward and trying to track down the signal?
I like it. I might also call up a couple of my friends from my network move.
Phone a friend, dude.
Because we've dealt with this kind of thing.
That's right, yeah. So as a searcher, which is your playbook, you have access to this network of friends who have certain paranormal experiences that could pose helpful.
And I wonder if it would be like another investigative mystery sort of thing.
Yeah, we could definitely go that route.
All right, yeah. How about I just roll that and we'll decide who I call based on what questions I want to ask, if I can ask questions.
That sounds perfect. Go for it.
Cool. Big bucks, no whammies. Oh, one flew off the table.
And it goes flying.
But that's a 4 on the other one. Oh, come on. And then re-rolled to a 1.
Oh.
Wait, what is this plus sharp? Hey, so that's a 7.
All right, perfect. So that actually gives you a hold 1.
Sweet. So I'm thinking maybe a what can hurt it, and we call our boy Bobby.
Could you describe how you envision Bobby?
Very tall and lanky, first off, visually. Dark hair, glasses. But he's always studying the scriptures, always ahead of the class in our religious schoolings, and really, like, clearly on... He was also the oldest of the group, I do believe, and he was just clearly on track to become a clergyman of sorts.
So you give him a call. Toby, is that you?
Hey, yeah, Bobby, I know it's been a while. How have you been?
Not too bad. I've missed you, buddy. How have you been?
Hey, missed you too. Well, I've been pretty good. I'm actually in an interesting situation here. I've been out exploring the country, if you can believe it.
This is about Philip, isn't it? Did you find him? Do you know where he went?
Not yet, but it is a little bit about Philip. See, right now, I think we're dealing with something that's similar to what got him. Our buddy's saying it's called a breacher demon.
Yeah, I've heard that terminology used as I've been doing my own research. It seems that it's sort of a demonic battering ram almost, trying to make way for other demons to get through. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. And it uses some sort of medium to try to breach.
Right, and we had the Ouija board, but what are you dealing with?
Well, this one was playing some weird numbers and letters over over speakers.
Interesting. So it's a sonic phenomenon of sorts.
Yeah, exactly.
And you called old Bobby to figure out how to fight this thing?
Yeah, if you have any tricks up your sleeve, some sort of things we could recite at it. I kind of forgot how all this works.
Yeah, no problem. I'll text you some stuff, all right? Did you keep a crucifix around? I mean, just in case.
Yeah, I mean, hard not to after what we went through.
All right, good. That's a good start. If you have any way of getting holy water, that's going to be really helpful too. If it's a sonic entity like you've described it, you might want to play it safe and like get some earplugs maybe. Maybe that will help.
Oh, that's a great idea. I have a question for you, Bobby. if we needed like a lot of holy water, could we maybe fill some sort of tank and have it in like a super soaker or something?
That's actually a really great idea. The trick is going to be finding someone to bless it for you. I mean, this time of night, you're probably out of luck, but...
That's always the trick, isn't it?
Well, I wish you luck. Let me know how it turns out. You know, a lot of this stuff is totally experimental, even to me, so I'm curious how it works.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes. If you don't hear from me in next week, might have to assume the worst.
Oh, jeez, I hope it doesn't end like that.
Nah, we'll be okay. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
All right. Be safe, Toby.
Thanks. You too, Bobby.
And a few moments after he hangs up with you, you do get some recitations, some prayers that he says might work.
All right, fellas, we're going to need some holy water. And I'm not sure who could bless water for us at this time.
I feel like the earplugs might be an easier find. But yeah, I mean, I don't think any of us have any connections to anyone who could bless water, right? I'm certainly not on the big guy's good side.
Quick question. Is Ray with us right now? Did he end up on the bus too?
No, he did not board with you guys. If you look outside the windows, he is still chatting with his friend out on the sidewalk, though.
DJ Tanner?
DJ Tanner.
Oh, I don't know if Ray was going to come with us or not, but Gregory Gutta is getting ready to... Gregory gun it out of here after listening to Tiger explain the demon. He's intent on getting to that signal as fast as possible, so he wants to drive that bus hard and fast.
So the agreement was that Ray was gonna stay here after you guys dropped him off, so you are probably clear to leave him if you're ready.
So unless anyone's objecting, Greg is gonna go east according to Tiger's direction and see if we can track down the signal.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Let's do it.
On the road again?
Can't wait.
On the road again.
Loretta, get in here. Get your pack of cigarettes, Loretta.